This episode of Tap and Step is presented by Cover Zero Analytics, the leaders in next-level football data. Cover Zero delivers predictive matchup previews, classification-based grading, and customized analysis to football coaches who want more than the same old breakdown of tendencies. With Cover Zero, football coaches now have a tool that can measure all aspects of their team's performance. Cover Zero is built entirely around smarter data analysis, helping thousands of coaches find winning edges that don't always appear in film study. If you're a football coach looking for an extra advantage, Cover Zero invites you to join the hundreds of premier programs that have taken their scouting intel to the next level. Ready to see how the best teams win? Start with Cover Zero Analytics. Find out more at coverzeroanalytics.com. That's coverzeroanalytics.com. Now, when do you get back?
Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. So you're going to fly into America and essentially immediately go to a Texas high school football game?
Yes, because I'm just jonesing that hard.
Are you the most American person I've ever met? Tap and Step. Premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep Greg Tepper.
I'm the most American Canadian you know, the Step, Matt Step.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber or for having to sit around waiting for like 4.5 extra days.
I guess if you're a freeloader, it's Friday afternoon and you are probably just all backed up waiting for some Friday night Texas high school football.
And let me put it to you this way. This is a promise. At least one Thursday game's getting drafted. I've got two Thursday games on my board for the game draft.
So Thursday schedule.
You've missed out.
You're going to know if we're right or wrong, but yes. You'll know if we were idiots or we were really smart.
Correct. Speaking of really smart, we're joined by our intrepid producer, Tiny Vianney Moreno, for one more time. Hi, Tiny Vianney Moreno.
Hey, guys. How are you guys?
We're Tiny. She's Tiny one more time because Step is still in Canada. Mm-hmm. You will be back in time for the season.
Yes, I fly back Wednesday night, and I will be on the road Thursday to a game that I will announce. Wow. If you follow us, you already know what game I'm going to, but we'll talk about it on the show.
At a time of our choosing. It is week one. We made it.
Yay.
We made it.
We did it. Hang the mission accomplished banner.
And there's a huge, huge slate of games.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got so much to get to, including the first game draft of the season. We're here. We made it.
Oh, yeah.
But first, Matthew, we will start as we always do.
I got my big board right over there. My big board's right over there.
We will start as we always do with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week presented by Cover Zero Analytics. And let me tell you something.
Clean Cover Zero.
Let me tell you something, smart guy. You think you're real smart? I know people who are smarter about football than you. Plain and simple. And they are the fine folks. A Cover Zero Analytics, where they will help take your game to the next level. Advanced deep dive analytics on Texas high school football. They will tell you things about your team that you didn't even think were possible.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. Sometimes when we do reads, like I have talking points in front of me, I have no talking points. I am just telling you what Cover Zero does. They just like the numbers they will send you.
They're nerdier than us.
That is such a high bar, and yet mm-hmm. they've cleared it. Go to coverzeroanalytics.com and give them your business. Tell them that your friends, Step and Greg Tepper and Vianney Moreno. Actually, tell them Tiny Vianney Moreno sent you.
Tell them Tiny Vianney sent you.
That'll really timestamp your events. Coverzeroanalytics.com. Thanks to them for making it happen. Matt Step, your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. This weekend, the Temple Wildcats, under the tutelage of one Chad President, mm-hmm. will take the field for the 1,000.
Not even 30 years old yet?
He's 28. He won't turn 29 until November.
Jeez.
unaccomplished
here. I'm just.
They will. He will lead them out there for their 1,235th overall game in their history. Mm-hmm. Plano
will go out there and they will play their 1,236th all-time Texas high school football game. But Matt Stepp, those are respect Temple and Plano are respectively third and second in all-time games played. One team will play their 1,250th all-time game. Matt Stepp, who is that team?
Is it Highland Park?
It is not Highland Park. Highland Park ranks a 13th. They will play game 1195. That's strike one.
How about Amarillo?
Better guess. They're fourth place. So you've got it surrounded. Two is Plano. Three is Temple. Four is Amarillo. But number one is?
Waco.
It's an excellent guess, but it's not Waco. It's actually not an excellent guess. They're not even.
Well, it depends if you're counting the original Waco High or the new consolidated. You know.
Number one, playing their 1,250th game when they play the Whitney Wildcats, will be the Mart Panthers.
Really? Mart? It's odd. It's a small school.
1,250 games. 1,250. That's the most ever played. So there it is. Your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. And Matt Stepp, it's the words we've longed to say for the long offseason.
Been dreaming about this day.
It's time for the week one game draft. That's right. Tep and Stepp is back. We're extremely back. Nobody's ever been this back.
Nope. Ever.
And if this is your first episode of Tep and Stepp, welcome. Here's how it works. Stepp and I are going to go back and forth selecting games that we are most interested in. That is the phrase that pays here. Most interested in. Okay. So there are actually, I don't know if you knew this, there are more games in week one than any other week of the season. More games in week one than any other week of the season.
Probably more out of state games. Yeah.
740 something. Okay. More games than ever as we get shifted around here. Hi, VNA.
So it's all downhill from here is what you're saying.
So you can choose whatever game you want. You can choose literally any game you want. If you wanted to select.
Oh, God, I'm not ready for this. Oh, God, I'm not ready.
We're all out of practice. Normally, I have him queued up to have some random game. I can do it for this week.
No, I got it. Give me.
If you wanted to select.
I need a minute. This is not going well.
Oh, wait. No, it's fine. I'm not editing this. This is going great. I'm loving this.
This is going great.
Now
my internet's not working great.
Oh my God, I'm doing it this week. So if you wanted to select Memphis versus Dimmitt as your number one overall pick, you could.
Okay.
You could pick Memphis versus Dimmitt.
And next week we will report back the Memphis and Dimmitt score.
For whatever week, for whatever game you want, all you have to do is sell us on why you're interested in the game. It could be for whatever reason. We'll go back and forth five games each for a total of 10, and then we'll round it all out. With the hipster game of the week.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a game that is so far off of your radar that you're not even thinking about it, but it's our job to think about it. That's what we do here at Tepa. That's the public service we provide.
I got to get back into the swing of things. I got to have the random game ready. And I'm scrambling for my hipster pick now because I forgot.
Oh, no.
I got one.
Okay. Here's the bad news. The bad news is that we had the coin toss before the show. Step won the coin toss,
Yay. Which
means that he gets pick 1-1 of the season, the final, the first pick of the year. Matt Stepp, what is your first pick in the inaugural 2025 Tep and Stepp game draft?
7:00 Friday night at RE St. John Stadium in Kilgore. It is the Carthage Bulldogs and the Kilgore Bulldogs. It's a bulldog fight. It's two teams whose colors are red and white. It's the Spider-Man meme. They're staring at each other. You have one team that was a state champion last year and one team that was a state runner-up. It is the game of the week in East Texas. All due respect to Longview and Lufkin, which may get talked about in a little while. Mm-hmm. In my opinion, the best game in East Texas this week, Carthage and Kilgore, fired up for this one. One thing you know, these two teams will play a close game. They seem to always play close, hard-fought football games. They're old rivals. Lots to like about this football game. Carthage won 2023, and Kilgore in a rainstorm last year took the matchup a year ago. Carthage's only loss of the season.
And it snapped their 71-game regular season winning streak.
Yeah,
which was the longest at the time.
Yeah. And Carthage had just been had lost the regular season game in a long time, and Kilgore finally beats them. And it was kind of a sign of things to come for Kilgore in the great 2024 season that they had. But I'm going to start with Carthage, defending state champs in 4A Division II. At the skill positions, they are absolutely loaded. You got KJ Edwards, the A&M committed running back. They got another running back, Benny the Bull Smith, who's a really good backup running back. They've got two outstanding running backs. You've got Kemian Henderson, the wide receiver committed to Arkansas, Jet Saradic quarterback. And then defensively, you've got Beck, DeQuivis Beck, committed to A&M as well. Carson Crawford, the Colorado commit who had the huge game in the state championship game a year ago, just loaded. Now, there are questions about Carthage, mainly in the trenches on both sides of the ball, very young. And then, I mean, do we know, you know, Jet Surratt had his shoulder cleaned up this offseason. I don't think he played in the scrimmage. So is he going to be ready to play week one? Now, the last 2 years, Surratt has struggled against this Kilgore secondary. Now, you know, you can maybe say there were injury concerns and whatever. The bottom line is Carthage the last 2 years has turned the ball over a lot against this Kilgore defense, which is why Kilgore was able to beat them last year and keep the game close in 2023. So that's the first thing I'm watching in this matchup is who's the quarterback for Carthage? Is Surratt ready to go? And if he's not, is there a capable backup ready to step in? And how much does that impact the Carthage offense? Second thing I'm watching for Carthage is the trench play. How does their young defensive and offensive lines look? Kilgore, offensively, I think should be really dynamic. We saw it in 7-on-7. They went all the way to the championship game. Kaysen Brooks, their quarterback, he's not going to be a Division I recruit. He doesn't have the prototype size. But what Kaysen Brooks has is he's a leader, and he's a winner. Mm-hmm. He gets that Kilgore offense into good situations. Two good running backs, Isaiah Waters and Rayshon Williams. And they've got LaKeelan Graves on the outside. I believe our top uncommitted player in the state of Texas.
Yes.
Overall, I mean, dominated at state 7-on-7 this year, just blew everyone away with his ability. And they've got, you know, Jacalyn Sheffield is another two-way dynamo for Kilgore as well. Kilgore's got
he had seven picks last year. Jacalyn Sheffield was incredible last year.
Big-time playmaker there. Kilgore has a little bit more back in the trenches on both sides of the ball, so I might go edge Kilgore in the trenches. And as good as Kilgore is the skill spot, so I would give the edge to Carthage. I think this game comes down to simply turnovers. Mm-hmm. I think now this the caveat here: Jet Surratt plays. This game comes down to turnovers. Mm-hmm. Carthage takes care of the ball. I think they win the football game. Mm-hmm. Carthage turns the ball over. I think Kilgore wins it. If Surratt doesn't play, I think all bets are off because you just don't know what Carthage is going to bring to the table offensively. Then I think you might have the pendulum swings to Kilgore here, but. Surratt plays, I think you're looking at turnovers. Carthage takes care of the ball, they win the football game. So that's my read on this one. I'm working under the assumption that Surratt will be ready to go, and so I'm taking Carthage in this one.
This is a fascinating game, and I think we will find out a lot about, like, what's interesting is that this is really just like a big test for all of the things that Carthage has to replace right out of the chute. That if, let me put it to you this way. If we find out that KJ Edwards runs for 220 and three touchdowns on Kilgore, I have a pretty good idea who's winning the 4A Division II state championship. Yep. I don't mean to overstate it in that way, but like one of the questions we have is about their offensive line. And if they're able to get a push against Kilgore, then like it's going to be a Carthage year, plain and simple.
Yeah.
The other thing is that like I would even like phrase it as both these teams kind of have their star power back. You know, in a lot of ways, maybe the exception of Kilgore, who's the kid who went to Michigan?
Jaden Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Aside from him, essentially all the star power is back in this game, but a lot of the nuts and bolts are going to be replaced, especially Kilgore on their defensive side. They got the star power like Cameron Christian. You mentioned Sheffield. How can they do that? And then you're right. Like Carthage hasn't necessarily, they don't lose openers, but they don't always look super crisp in openers.
Yeah.
Like a couple years ago, remember they were playing
Crosby.
It was Crosby in the opener. And they were like on the ropes and had to like come back and win it.
Yeah. And then last year, the last 2 years against Kilgore, they've had some struggles. And then granted, due to turnovers. I think the most underrated part about Carthage's team last year was how good their defensive line was.
Yes.
But they would rotate. They had a lot of depth and a lot of guys. Hopefully some of those young guys who maybe didn't start last year but played a lot are ready to take on. If you're a Carthage fan, you know, if you're Gabe Brooks or a Carthage fan, you know, hoping those young guys are ready to go and step into bigger roles. So, but I think, you know, the Surratt thing is something I'm definitely going to be watching to see if he's ready to go week one.
It's a good pick. It's a good pick for 1-1. My first pick, Matthew, my first pick of the year, 7:30 p.m. Friday night at Cardinal Field at Memorial Stadium in Columbus. It is a 4A versus 3A matchup as the Cuero Gobblers visit the Columbus Cardinals. And it has been 1 year since we sat on this, essentially we sat on this podcast and we marveled at Columbus 65, Cuero 24.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when all of us were like, oh boy.
I think it was, I vividly remember We were all at our games on Friday nights. You were in the studio, and we were keeping an eye on different games. But we were all watching Columbus Cuero because we wanted to see Grayson Rigdon play 11-man football. And I think the first carry, he ripped off like a 19-yard run, and we were like, oh.
And, okay. And it was only – that was only a sign of things to come, especially for this Columbus offense. And it turns out – Columbus was a juggernaut and in my opinion, pretty clearly the best team in 3A Division One, wins their first state championship. Now a lot has changed in a year.
Yes.
Especially I would say on both sides, but we'll start with the Columbus side. Mr. Texas football, Adam Schobel gone. Defensive MVP, John Schobel gone. Monster defensive end, Anthony Shorter gone. Superstar running back Grayson Rigdon gone. They graduate from a 3A perspective. We have very rarely seen a team graduate the kind of star power.
Yeah, four FBS, all four of those guys: Rigdon, Arizona State; the two Shovels to TCU; and Shorter to Sam Houston. Four FBS signees.
It's crazy. Yeah. Okay, now I will say the cupboard's far from bare. Rylan Carruthers, Braylon Fisher, a lot of the guys who were key cogs in that title game are back, but there are holes to fill, and it will be a new look Columbus team. That's not a hot take. That's just kind of, you lose that much playmaking ability. You're going to have some holes, or you're going to be different. Cuero, I would make the argument that a lot has changed, and a lot has changed in the way that like there's a buzz around DeWitt County at the moment.
This is a team that I think could win the Region 4 title. This is, you know, I think Cuero could be playing in a state semifinal. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
And it starts with one of, I don't want to go too crazy, but one of the most dynamic pass catch combos, at least in 4A, in Jackson Marie and Walker Dietz. That is going to be as money a pass catch combo as you're going to find. They're going to be, and you've got Marie back from injury. They are really high on him. They really like the offensive line, the defense with Aiden Strecker, Aiden Stafford. They have got dudes. This is a team that if you go down to DeWitt County, they are talking about. Like,
yeah. And we saw it kind of, I saw it down in College Station at 7-on-7. I was like, this Cuero team looks ready. Like they've got the guys and the athletes and the playmakers, that vintage Cuero type football team. The one thing I want to see for Cuero is who emerges as that feature running back. Who is that guy that's going to carry the load? You got Dietz on the outside. You got Jackson Marie. Jace Guajardo. Cuero's got two capable quarterbacks they trust. I'll be interested to see if whoever – I'm assuming Marie is going to win the job. He's the senior. Guajardo's just going to be a junior. Is Guajardo, they're going to put him at in the secondary. They're going to put him in a different position. But who develops as Cuero's feature running back. You got to have that bell cow running back, you know, in Cuero.
I also think Cuero knows they kind of got embarrassed last year on their home field in Cuero. And I think they took it personally. And I think they're going to get some revenge. I don't think they're not going to blow it out, but I think that they are more.
They could. I think Columbus is very much a work in progress, mm-hmm. especially on offense. I still think they're trying to figure things out. One thing we know Cuero can do is score points. Might be a bad week one matchup. And I think Cuero, like you said, I think they didn't forget that butt whooping that Columbus put on them last year at home. And I think Cuero would love nothing more than to return the favor and go to Columbus and spoil their state championship party in a way that the Gobblers know how.
And I think they're going to do it. Yeah. I think they're going to do it. I like Cuero in this one. It's going to be you mentioned a big party in Columbus, but I think Cuero's coming with I think they're bringing hell with them. And I think it's going to be a really, really interesting matchup down there at Cardinal Field. That is my first pick. What is your second pick, Matthew?
Go Friday night at Eagle Stadium in Argyle.
Mm-hmm.
A juicy, juicy 5A matchup. Top five, top 10 type teams on both sides. Division one, division two is Frisco Lone Star visits Argyle to take on the Argyle Eagles in a game that I think is a real measuring stick game for both of these football teams who have aspirations of winning a state championship. And for Lone Star, this is a loaded football team. You've got, you know, Davian Gross, the Florida commit, Ryder Mix, the tight end, the OU commit, Carice Hoyt, who just had a monster year at quarterback last year, moving to running back. It's a weird year. You've had two or three quarterbacks, you know, Cardae Mack down at Atascocita also moving from quarterback to running back this year. You know, Lone Star's defense should be really good as well. Jordan Deck, the Michigan commit in the secondary, they've got a defensive lineman, I think, who's gotten a bunch of – like, Lone Star is loaded. Mm-hmm. This is a talented, talented football team that beat Argyle a year ago. But then Argyle, every bit as talented as Lone Star with McGuire Gasperson, Braden Bach, the TCU commit, Julian Caldwell, the wide receiver on the outside, Watson Bell, their very productive running back. This is a Argyle team that is absolutely loaded. Now, from a matchup standpoint, Lone Star does present Argyle's very aggressive. You know, Argyle plays that aggressive in your face, very, very. They take a lot of chances on defense. But they're prone to giving up big plays. Well, let me tell you, Lone Star can make big plays. They've got the personnel to make big plays. And really put Argyle on their heels. What I'm going to be watching for in this football game when I look at Lone Star and Argyle is two things here. And this one is courtesy of our friends at Cover Zero. Okay.
Ooh.
Is last year's game, neither team was really able to get pressure on the quarterback. The sack rate and the havoc rates, the sack rate was under 3% and the havoc rate, which basically havoc rate is basically how the quarterback moved off his spot? Is he under?
Are you affecting the quarterback? Yeah.
Yes. Under 10% last year. But the key in that game last year was third downs. Lones, and again, Cover Zero, great stats here. Thank you to our friends at Cover Zero. Lone Star was over 50%, 56% converting third downs in that game last year. Argyle only converted 9% of their third downs. So that's the key. And the key is Lone Star last year was able to run the football. And typically against Argyle, most teams struggle to run the football against Argyle. They load the box, play aggressive Cover Zero, kind of man-to-man, in-your-face defense, and they load the box. Lone Star last year, especially the Carice Hoyt, was able to run the football and get into manageable third downs, which is why they had such a high conversion rate. If Lone Star can run the football, establish the run again, I like their chances because I think they've got enough playmakers to do damage. If they can't run the ball, I think the pendulum swings to Argyle here. So that's what I'm looking for, running the football, those third down rates that our friends at Cover Zero gave us. Those are the keys here. I think that's the matchup here. I think Argyle's defense is going to adjust. I like Argyle at home in this game in a very close football game. This is going to be a heck of a game, though.
Would it surprise you to know I like Argyle too?
And if you picked Lone Star, I'd be like, I can't. This is one of those coin flip games. But I think Argyle this year Lone Star probably has a little bit more of that headline frontline talent than Argyle does. But I think Argyle has almost 6A numbers at this point in their football program, not in their school, but they look like a 6A football team. And I wonder if they kind of, especially early in the year, it's going to be hot. Late in the game, they kind of wear Lone Star down a little bit.
I think the matchup here favors Argyle, especially the way they play defense, because by moving Carice Hoyt to running back, they're going to be relying on either John Madden, yes, that's his name, or Trey Wright, who's going to be a sophomore quarterback for them. Jeff Reburn had to say which one. Wouldn't be surprised to see both of them in the game. And as a result, like, if you're Argyle, you're saying, yeah, of course we're going to load the box. We're going to make this young quarterback beat us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that kind of plays into Argyle's hands a little bit. And especially a team that is a little bit more, we know what they're going to be offensively. I am very sure I know what Argyle is going to be offensively.
Known commodities there.
Yeah. Lone Star is going to be a little bit more, not bad or not dynamic, but just interest, like we don't know. And so
yeah, they could come out and whoever's a quarterback could throw for 450 and we're like, well, Lone Star, okay. But they could come out and struggle. Lone Star, the other guy I forgot to mention was their defensive lineman, Chris Knowles, the Michigan State commit. Mm-hmm. So you've got a Michigan State commit and a Michigan commit on defense. So Mallory Hartley is just conflicted there.
Big 10, big time. Exactly. Yeah. Good pick. Yeah. Argyle and Lone Star. It's going to be a lot of fun. For my second pick, Matthew, I'm going back out east in a game I am absolutely fascinated by. 7 o'clock Thursday night at Bulldog Stadium in Garrison. It is the Garrison Bulldogs welcoming in the Wascom Wildcats. And I think it's really important to take a moment and recognize just how rare a game like this is in week one. Okay.
Yeah.
Because this is, so there are other, I think there's other top five matchups, like North Shore and South Oak Cliff is a top five matchup. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Carthage and Kilgore is a top five matchup, right? Mm-hmm. This is a top five matchup in fact, I think Argyle and Lone Star might, I don't know what Lone Star is ranked, but that's close to a top five matchup.
If they're not five, they're six or seven probably. Actually, but you know what? I have this great magazine, Dave Campbell Texas Football. I'll check it out. I'll come back to you and let you know.
But here's the thing. Lone Star and Argyle, like Carthage and Kilgore are not in the same classification.
Correct.
Okay.
They're in different divisions.
Division one.
Yeah.
Argyle.
Lone Star is number five.
There you go. It's top five matchup. Mm-hmm. Argyle and Lone Star is a matchup of top five teams in 5A Division One, but they're in different regions.
Well, no, Argyle's Division Two.
I'm sorry. 5A Division. So they're in different divisions. Mm-hmm. You have, with Garrison and Wascom, a top five matchup in the same division, mm-hmm, in the same region.
Yes. This could be the first of two.
This is a legit regional final matchup that we could be getting in week one. Mm-hmm. And it's
Thursday. That's awesome.
It's super rare, super duper duper rare. And I think that it's worth just identifying exactly how fun that is. Mm-hmm. This is also just like two teams that I'm really high on this year. Like, I'm very excited about both these teams. For Garrison, Avery Yarborough, their two-way star. I think there's the first of the year. I think he's going to be a household name by the end of the year. I really do. I think he is going to be a household name. Avery Yarborough is awesome. And last year, Garrison took some lumps, and they had to throw in Riley McGuire at the quarterback spot because of injury.
Mm-hmm.
And he really grew into the role as the season went on. Made some mistakes early, but like, he was thrown into the role. He is a year older, a year more experienced, a year more comfortable. I think Garrison's got the juice. And then you have Wascom. And Wascom, this is the team. Did we see them together last year?
No, I wasn't at that game, but I know you saw him. You went out to Big Sandy.
Powers, maybe? Yeah. Oh, I think it was Powers. Yeah. Someone. No, I went with my producer, Patrick Madrowski.
East Texas Stepper in the house.
They've got 12 starters back, including Joe Irving, who was a district MVP last year, and Nate Espy, who is kind of their fullback linebacker, like their
6'2" 207
stud
to play in 2A.
Yeah. Yes. This is marquee matchup stuff. I think this is pretty close to a coin flip. I think this is a fascinating, but there is, I am very interested to see how these two coaches handle it, knowing full well that you guys, like, it's only week one, mm-hmm. and they may be 13 weeks away from, or 14 weeks away from, an even more important game against one another. And do you play a little vanilla? Do you adjust? There is this game. I kind of can't stop thinking about it. I love this game. I'm going to go with Garrison at home only because they're at home basically. But like, this is, if you're anywhere near Garrison, Texas, go to this game on Thursday. This is an incredible game.
This was my runner up game for my Thursday night game. And the only reason I picked the Thursday night game I picked is because I was personally invited. Mm-hmm. If I hadn't been personally invited, I probably would have gone to Garrison Wascom Thursday night. If you've listened to me talk on these podcasts enough, you know I'm a big year two bump guy. Second year under a head coach, that second year bump. Wascom, year two under Wade Lawson. I feel like Wascom, the year two bump is going to be a factor here, especially running his offense and kind of his system. Takes to get the timing and everything that right in what they do. I think that second year is going to be big. So Garrison, I like the frontline talent. My concerns with Garrison really are about depth. You know, mm-hmm. They don't have a lot of depth. Wascom's probably a little deeper, so that's kind of why I lean to Wascom. The year two bump is the biggest reason, though.
I got it. I think that's fair. This is a showstopper game. Really, really remarkable. I will be keeping a very close eye on that on Thursday night. What is your third pick, Matthew?
7 o'clock Friday night. Down in East Bernard as the Goliad Tigers visit the East Bernard Bremas in a cross divisional 3A Division 1 versus 3A Division 2 matchup. And I picked this game primarily because I want to see I'm big on Goliad. We talked to Kevin Salazar at coaching school. You kind of feel Coach Salazar, he didn't say it, but you could tell they have some expectations this year. They have some high hopes. They feel like this might be the year that they break through. Well, if you're going to break through in 2025. If you're going to break through, beating a team like East Bernard in the opener is a heck of a way to start things off. East Bernard took this game last year 34-21. Under Jeremy Jenkins' debut, but I think this Goliad team might have the juice, Pepper. Mm-hmm. And it starts with Lamont Franklin. I don't know if there is a player in Region 4 at the small school level as dynamic or as explosive as Lamont Franklin.
I'm gonna put Lamont Franklin on Tep and Step due to the year watch. I'm gonna put him on the watch list.
Is he invited to the Dudes Rock dinner?
He is right now. We haven't even played a snap yet, but he's at least he's on the watch list.
Okay, he's like, on the Dudes Rock watch list.
He is, absolutely.
You know who is not on the Dudes Rock watch list is Ashley Pickle. She is not on
very
the watch
true.
List.
Very true. Many people are saying
she is known Dudes Rock hater. Ashley Pickle.
Yeah. So I'm getting
you know, hey, tough but fair, right? Tough but fair.
I'm telling on y'all.
Hey, you are our producer. Come on now. Your team Tep and Step here. Yeah. Let's go. What was the stat you had on Lamont Franklin? It was like he averaged
averaged like 22 yards a touch or something. Like
basically,
it was insane.
Yeah. Explosive play every time he touches the ball. And it's not just Lamont Franklin, though. You know, they've got a great running back. Donovan Perry had over 1,000 yards rushing last year. And they've got a Zamzow. At quarterback. If you know about that, Mike Foreman will tell you, right? The Zamzow name, that they have produced elite athletes, track people at A&M, boys and girls. If there's a Zamzow, they're doing big things. Cord Zamzow, the quarterback there at Goliad, he was a DB last year for the most part. great looking kid, great athlete. What's he, 6'4", I believe. Six two, 165, runs a 4.4 40, absolute speed merchant, gonna lead the offense. Goliad is dynamic and explosive on the offensive side of the ball. Love what they have coming back. Want to see how the defense emerges. Now that they bring back seven starters, so you'd imagine they're going to be better. And if they're going to win Region 4, that's what Goliad's going to have to improve on. We know Goliad can score points. Can they get stops consistently is going to be the key, and I think, against good teams. I think they'll get stops against bad football teams.
Yes.
And they play good people. The people they got to beat to win, to get to the semifinals. Edna, Llano, those types of teams. Can Goliad's defense get stops? Well, East Bernard is an excellent, excellent football team. Can Goliad get stops against East Bernard? I like Amari Jones, the wide receiver DB. Kenya Blunston is kind of their star in the trenches. But East Bernard's got some questions on the offensive side of the ball, especially at the skill spots. You'd expect it's the experience that Goliad has, they should be able to handle it. That's going to be the key in this one. So I like Goliad. I think the experience pays off here, but watching this one real close.
Okay. This is a really intriguing matchup that, again, especially like we'll find out just a lot more about both of these ball clubs. Two teams we have high hopes for. I think kind of for East Bernard, maybe a little tempered high hopes, but like if they like, this is a team that you could see being like a real high riser if they can come out there and really perform well in week one. This is a really intriguing, like, where are you at matchup between these two. So good pick. Matt Stepp, my third pick. I'm actually going to take a big school game. Let's go 7:30 PM.
Brand name Tepper over here.
Brand name Tepper. This is brand name, by the way. 7:30 PM Friday night at Bearcat Stadium in Aledo. And I believe, I think live on Texan Live. I think so. We'll find out. Go check TexanLive.com find out.
Yeah.
It is a state-ranked matchup of 6A versus 5A as the Denton Geyer Wildcats visit the Aledo Bearcats. And I mentioned this in the 5A preview, okay? There is a question about 5A Division I that, like, you know how, like, in those, like, if you're filling out a form online, if you answer such and such, then it takes you to, if you answer such a way, it'll take you to the next question or something like that. The first question you get in 5A Division I is it an Aledo year? Mm-hmm. Yes, no. Mm-hmm. And you have to check one. And if it's yes, then that just ends the questionnaire because then they get to win the state championship. And if it is a no, then you can move on. We talked about that in the 5A preview. And with Aledo, remember, they have not missed consecutive title games since 2008. That is a real stat. They've not missed consecutive title games since 07-08.
That's crazy.
That's the last time they missed two title games in a row. And you have a lot of reason to believe that this is that you're going to check yes on the Aledo boxes here. Because they are good in all of the Aledo ways. They have a dude out wide in Caden Finley. They
Notre Dame commit.
A monster offensive line led by Peyton Williams. They have a defense that looks like it could be real top-notch led by Chase Wilburn. They are loaded. Now, one big question. Uno big question. And it is QB1.
Yeah.
If I will go this far. If Aledo finds a pretty good quarterback, they are the clear favorite to win the state championship. Yeah. If they don't find a pretty good quarterback, it opens up.
Yeah, yeah. I talked to, again, this is a scrimmage, but talked to Mansfield Timberview head coach Jacody Coleman, who scrimmaged Aledo last week, and he co-signed on Aledo's defense. He said that defense is December ready right now. They are really, really good.
They will face a team in Geyer that is, I will just say this, and maybe this will spoil my pick, but a little bit more of a work in progress. They are not, I will tell you one place, they are not a work in progress. Up front defensively, okay?
Yeah.
Kyron Haywood and Zane Rowe, their defensive front seven is spectacular. I mean, yes. Incredible. Could be one of the best in 6A.
Agree.
And if you want a pure strength, that Aledo offensive line and that Guyer defensive line, like, take your eye off the ball and just mm-hmm. watch them. You will be worth the price of admission. Worth the price of admission.
Agree.
And also, Guyer is almost a complete unknown offensively. They got hammered by graduation. Just three starters back on the offensive side. And we know next to nothing about their offense. Now, we know that they've got a couple receivers in Corbin Glasgow and DJ Reese, who are good players.
Yeah, I think Glasgow missed most or maybe all of last year with the injury. He's back, but Reese got hurt in the spring game, and I believe he's out for the year.
Oh, jeez. So,
big loss there. Yeah, Guyer.
Even more unknown.
Yeah. Now, I'm interested in their junior quarterback, Zephyr Cry. Hopefully I'm saying that name right.
Yeah.
Lot of people, a lot of talent, a lot of buzz mm-hmm. about him as a sophomore, you know, and he played a lot as a sophomore, but now he's the man because Kevin Sperry graduated. So now Zephyr Cry is he's the guy. So it's his first start. And guess what? First start. It's against Aledo. Good luck.
Aledo on the road. And I think that's where I'm at right now mm-hmm. is I think 10 weeks down the road, this could be a really different ball game because I think Guyer's offense especially is going to grow into the game. Mm-hmm. But in week one, like the on-paper all-stars here are Aledo, like plain and simple. They look exceptional on offense or exceptional on paper rather. I think I need to see it from Guyer first before I'm willing to believe it. And as a result, especially on the road, walking in, I would need to know last time Aledo dropped a home game. Probably been a minute.
Last one I can remember. Did they lose to Guyer before this? They've been playing Guyer.
I can look this up. Anyway,
I know they lost to Cedar Hill on that weird 2020 year when they when
hardly count.
Yeah. It was a game that was scheduled like that day.
Yeah, I would need to look this up.
2022. Guyer beat Aledo in Aledo 44-14.
There you go. So it can happen and certainly wouldn't necessarily be a huge shock, but I think Guyer Alito just feels like more of a finished product in week one than Guyer is. So it's an interesting game, and we'll find out a lot more about whether or not Guyer can insert themselves into that 6A Division II kind of conversation. But for now, I like Alito, especially at home. So that is my third pick. What is your fourth pick, Matthew?
Let's go. A game that I'm very interested in. Let's go Thursday night at Legacy Stadium in Katy, live on Texan Live.
Yeah.
It's Cy Ranch at Katy Tompkins in a really, really fun matchup that I think is going to tell us a lot. I've been big on Cy Ranch, been a mm-hmm. big Cy Ranch. I think they're going to win the district in 16-6A. Year two bump, Will Blaylock, mm-hmm. year two there at Cy Ranch, taking on a Katy Tompkins team that is consistently – quietly one of the better programs in the Houston area that maybe doesn't get talked about on the same level as the Katies, the North Shores, the Atascocitas, obviously Summer Creeks, but very quietly been turned into a very consistent winner there under Todd McVay. This was an awesome game last year, 21-20. But here's the thing. This is courtesy of our friends at Cover Zero. Cy Ranch led this game 20-0 midway through the third quarter. Tompkins made a hellacious rally down the stretch to win that football game. Cy Ranch is a year older. They've got Calvin Thomas, the North Carolina committed linebacker, Amari Barnes-Vickerson. They are loaded on the defensive front. Going up against a very underrated Tompkins offense that maybe doesn't have the star power, but you know, Ethan Meadows is an outstanding running back. Carter Young teams with him. They've got a great offensive lineman, Phoenix Smith. This is going to be a great matchup, the Cy Ranch defense versus the Tompkins offense. The key and the difference in this football game this year versus last year, in my opinion, is going to be basically Cy Ranch's ability to run the football. Cy Ranch could not put the game away last year. They couldn't run the ball. That's why they couldn't put the game away. In the fourth quarter, Cy Ranch ran 18 plays for a total of 13 yards in the football game. Thank you, Cover Zero. Tompkins, on the other hand, was able to establish the run, and in the fourth quarter had 127 yards alone on 17 plays. So that explosiveness wore Cy Ranch down. Cy Ranch this year, I feel like with Peyton Thomas running the football, they're going to have a renewed emphasis on running the ball. They're much more schooled in the schemes that Blaylock wants to run. I think that's the key. Now, Cy Ranch, first-year quarterback, Braden Baker, 6'5", 180, a lot of talent, but it's his first varsity start. He's played. He led them to a great comeback last year in a win over – I was at the game – Cy Woods. They beat Cy Woods. He threw a late touchdown pass to win the game last year late. But this is his first varsity start. He's the guy. But I think the emphasis on running the football is going to be key here. And that's why I like Cy Ranch to take this one on Texan Live on Thursday. Now, this is actually when I'm at my game on Thursday, I'm going to have my tablet with Texan Live. This is the game I'm watching, Cy Ranch and Tompkins. I think Cy Ranch is a Region 2 contender. They have a chance to make a statement. So I'm really intrigued by this game.
It's a really interesting matchup, and it's actually that I mean, if you want to park at Legacy Stadium in Katy, because the next, like, I was thinking about taking Katy and Dickinson, which is also a spectacular ball game on Friday night.
That's Saturday night. That's the game of the night. Saturday.
Oh, it's Saturday night. Okay, never mind. I had that wrong. Yeah,
that's the game. I'll be watching that game Saturday night.
It is absolutely terrific. And so it is, we'll find out a lot. I think you're right. Two teams that are kind of fringe contenders in the Houston area. We can, like, one of them, I feel like we're going to be talking a lot about next week. It's like, oh, okay. Like, they showed us a little something. So fascinating ball game there. Good pick. Matt Stepp, let me give you a little whiplash from 6A to 1A.
Oh, okay.
7:30 p.m. Thursday night in Pretty, P-R-I-D-D-Y. Ooh, what is the name of their stadium? According to Texas, I know where
Pretty is down by Comanche, right?
Yes, Pretty Athletic Complex. They're in beautiful Pretty, Texas. P-R-I-D-D-Y. It is the six-man game of the week. Is the two-time defending 1A Division 1 state champion Gordon Longhorns taking on the number three ranked, Richland Springs Coyotes in a tantalizing matchup. And let's talk. This is fascinating for a lot of reasons. One, it is just a real good six-man football game. And if you're into that kind of thing, which I know you are, this is just good football. Both teams are loaded. We've talked a lot about Gordon, about how they're the prohibitive favorite in 1A Division 1. They've got Rye Reed, Stryker Reed, Braden Walters, absolutely loaded. Richland Springs brings back 7 starters. Remember, that's out of 12, so that's a lot. Billy Perry, yeah. Cohen Etheridge, Rush Norris, they are loaded. There's two things I'm watching here. One, is there a little slow out of the gate for a team that has had a lot, like, Gordon, been a lot of talk about Gordon in the offseason, about how they could be a dynasty and stuff like that. Well, Richland Springs is kind of the original dynasty in six-man football.
Yes.
At least of this century. Can they come out of the gates hot? That is one question. The other, and this is where we get a little dicey, a little fun. Who will be coaching for Richland Springs?
Wait, Tepper, it's August 25th. We don't know who the coach is at Richland Springs?
So the coach, at least as far as we know, is the guy who's been the coach for the last 3 years, Sean Rogers. Mm-hmm. He's been the head coach. He is the one, here's God's honest truth, he is the one who, when they turned in the questionnaire for Richland Springs, it says head coach Sean Rogers. Okay. Matt Stepp, flash it back to September 12th, 2022. When Richland Springs coach Jerry Burkhart was suspended by the UIL for 3 years for recruiting violations, essentially. Like that's shorthand for what happened.
Yeah.
He was suspended for 3 years. It was a massive story in the six-man ranks because Richland Springs, the most decorated program in six-man football, hard stop.
Shit. And Burkhart has won a ton of state championships.
Ton of state championship games. He is, yes. He is, I think he's a 9-time state champion. Okay. That's up. He was suspended for 3 years. That was in 2022. What year is it now? It's 2025.
Checking my clock. Yeah, 2025. Yeah.
So, and this is something I have, and this is true, I have tried to find out of, hey, what's going on with Jerry Burkhart? From what I understand, he went into private enterprise afterwards and stuff like that. But I don't know if it is 3 seasons or 3 years, because that is notable, because he got suspended on September 12th.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also, is he coming back at all? That is a huge story that, like, I don't think anybody really has clarity on. I don't think anybody has clarity on, is he going to be on the sideline for Richmond?
You would think someone in the six-man world would have a read on
it.
It's been weirdly quiet. Yeah, that's the crazy thing, yeah.
I have talked with coaches and said, hey, do you know who's coaching Richmond Springs? They have said, no, but we know why you're asking. So we will find it. Now, it is also possible that he doesn't show up, that he does show up, but he doesn't show up until like week 5 or something like that. Fascinating. I am really interested. It's a great football game. And then there's also like a side of like drama that I'm interested in. Gordon Richland Springs, a great ball game, and pretty on Thursday night. What is your fifth and final pick, Matthew?
7 o'clock Friday night at Kincaid Stadium in Dallas. This is I'm going to call it now. This is my upset special of the week in Texas high school football, as the South Oak Cliff Golden Bears are hosting the North Shore Mustangs. And I'm calling it now. I think Sauk beats North Shore Friday night.
Excuse me?
I do. Here's why. A few people think I'm crazy. Go back and look at last year's South Oak Cliff North Shore game. For 3 quarters, first quarter, third, fourth quarter, South Oak Cliff and North Shore basically played to a draw. Because South Oak Cliff in the trenches was able to match up with North Shore. It was a draw, basically, in the trenches. Mm-hmm. Where North Shore had the huge edge last year, in my opinion, was they were so much more explosive than Sauk at the skill positions. And they busted out in the second quarter, had a huge quarter, put the game on ice, and it was over. I don't think North Shore has that edge this year, primarily because North Shore is just so young at the skill spots. Mm-hmm. Very unproven at skill positions. A lot of questions. Now, where North Shore is good is quarterback Caleb Maryland, the Utah State commit. Love that kid. I think he's a dog. They got Desmond Christian at linebacker. I think he's a playmaker. I think North Shore's got pieces, but there's a lot more questions about North Shore this year than last year. Mm-hmm. Then you have the distraction, kind of the cloud hanging over with Chase Calicutt and his off the field situation, where he's got his legal issues right now that's going on. Mm-hmm. He's obviously not playing. A little bit of a distraction there for the program as well.
Certainly.
Flip the coin to South Oak Cliff. Veteran ball club this year. They went down to Houston last year, took a butt whooping to North Shore. All those guys are back. I already said South Oak Cliff matches up well in the trenches with North Shore. Brian Swanson in that South Oak Cliff offensive line is as good as you'll see in 5A Division II. Their defensive line, Corday Houston, the Syracuse commit, linebacker Jamarian Phillips, the Baylor commit, Sauk secondary with Marcel Gibson, the Clemson commit, Ricky Giles, the West Virginia commit. Sauk's loaded on defense. So they got the playmakers to keep up, and I think go toe-to-toe with North Shore at that level. Here's what kind of put it over the edge for me. Do you remember last year when North Shore came to the Metroplex to play a regular season football game?
I do.
They came to Crowley in week 2 and pretty much almost screwed around and got upset. They were flat.
They were very flat. I do want to make sure that we are not conflating that with what was also a pretty good Crowley team. Ended up being a pretty good Crowley team.
It ended up being a good Crowley team. But this is a Crowley team that the next week lost 31-0 to Skyline, who didn't make the playoffs. So early in the year, Crowley, I think, was still trying to figure themselves out. North Shore came up here and just played terrible. Just looked flat, uninterested, and didn't play very well. And almost they won 28-13. Okay. I don't know if they'll be flat against South Oak Cliff, but that's in the back of my mind. And then there's a stat that I've seen floating around. I think Cover Zero has it. I know my good friend Carl Padilla with the Padilla Polls had it in the past. Teams that travel more than 150 miles in non-district lose at like a 90% clip.
Mm.
The 150-plus mile road trip, non-district game, that's why I'm going to go with South Oak Cliff in it. And what I think will be a pretty eye-opening upset for the rest of the state of Texas. That's why I think this game is super interesting, because I think South Oak Cliff pulls the upset here.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, like, from a size perspective, if South Oak Cliff were to beat North Shore, I mean, guys, South Oak Cliff has an enrollment in the 1200s, 1300s?
I think like 14, low 14s. Okay. But North Shore's 4K plus.
More than 4,000, okay? They would be beating a school that's like almost four times their size. I don't think you're crazy. I don't agree with you, but I don't think you're crazy. That's
listen, where I'm at. I mean, they're going to come on here next Monday yeah. and do a victory lap, or VNA is going to tell me I'm an idiot.
Yeah, well,
one of the two.
That's why she's here. Matt Stepp, my fifth and final pick of the first week. 7 o'clock, Friday night, at Crusader Stadium in Belton, the home of the Mary Hardin Baylor Crusaders. It is a cross-regional, state-ranked 6A matchup as the Prosper Eagles take on the Westlake Chaparrals in a real sorting matchup here in that kind of like that, like it may end up that both teams end up in the middle, but like, we'll find out a lot more about kind of the shape of 6A and these two teams, especially
because 100%.
There's a lot to learn about this game. So last year, you may remember, these two teams played one another, and for Prosper, I think it's important to remember how last year ended, because last year they were on the wrong end of a first round exit. And
tough draw getting Coppell in round one.
Listen, you don't just walk into Buddy Eccles Field. The first round exit, and you get the feeling that there's something to prove there, that like that is pretty clearly below their standard. And I would imagine that they have been talking about that for the last 9 months or so. And for Westlake, their season ended in the state championship game, but they, you know, the last time we saw Westlake, they were on the business end of like an historic performance. And it's the kind of performance, especially what kind of performance is. This is always a Westlake team, and especially with Tony Salazar, the head coach, that like, we know what they're going to be about. They're going to be about defense. And for them to go be on the business end of an historic offensive output like North Crowley, I promise you they've been talking about that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For about 8 months, okay? So as far as this game is concerned, this is a can you wash the taste of last year out of your mouth game. Like, one of these teams is going to come away feeling like, all right, fantastic. And the other team might be like, what's wrong with us? Prosper, we know what they're going to be about. They are going to have the best offensive line in the state. Is that an overstatement?
I mean, they might. It's them or Rich Point, probably.
I mean, Zayden Crimpen, an A&M commit. Bryce Gilmore is an Arkansas commit. Sean Stover is a Duke commit. Like, they're deep, and they're big, and they're nasty, and they've got just like an edge about them. Like, watching Prosper's offensive line the past couple of years has been like a treat. Like they're well coached. They're just really good. They're also going to be good up front defensively with Jake Johnson leading the way. He's a USC commit. Okay. However, they have some holes to fill kind of elsewhere, especially the skill spots. They do get Breeden Imhoff back, their quarterback. Also back is the other quarterback in Reese Wise. Reese Wise was a guy who I was so impressed with late in the playoffs last year. And that semifinal win over North Shore, the numbers are not going to be like shocking, like, oh my gosh, he threw for 600 yards. But you want to talk about a guy operating an offense fearlessly. He was
he always got Westlake into the right plays, the right situations. He's just an operator.
He's not Sam Ehlinger, right? Like, as far as Westlake quarterbacks are concerned, he's not Drew Brees. He's not, you know, one of those guys, in my opinion. But he is a guy that, as far as fitting that offense, hand in glove. And I thought he grew so much. He's back for a third year as their offense. They've got a dude up front in Maddox Flint, and that defensive line versus offensive line matchup is going to be box office. Westlake got drilled by graduation. Drilled.
They did, yeah. They lost a lot of key guys.
And so this will be a new look Westlake team. I also have some stats from our friends at Cover Zero, coverzeroanalytics.com. Last year, you may remember they played this game, and Prosper was up 14-13. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then Tony Salazar went in the locker room.
Got in his bag.
And he told those guys, they don't get another inch. And in the second half, they ran 29 plays for 63 yards. Mm-hmm. The other thing that they mention is going to be that I want to watch this Westlake secondary. Okay? This is a secondary that last year they gave up the highest defensive explosiveness against the pass that they have in the last 5 years. Can they improve? Have they kind of sewed that up in this week one? This is a really fun matchup. It's one of those the quarterback matchup is going to be good with Imhoff and Wise, but this is also like a real take your eye off the ball type game where it's like, if you're in a trench play, this will be fun. Like, mm-hmm. It'll just be like two units going at each other. I'm very interested, especially on a neutral site. I like Westlake. I think I'm going to go with Westlake, but I don't feel good about it.
I kind of like Prosper here.
Wouldn't be surprised, man.
16 starters back, and this was a great game last year. Westlake pulled away late. I kind of like Prosper here.
It'll be a great matchup, and it will it rounds out our week one game draft. Step took Carthage, Kilgore, Argyle, Lone Star, Eastburn, Argoliad, Cy Ranch, Katie Tompkins, and South Oak Cliff North Shore. I took Cuero, Columbus, Garrison, Wascom, Alito, Denton, Geyer, Gordon, and Richland Springs, Prosper, and Westlake. It is a stupid week one, guys. It's a...
Lufkin Longview didn't get picked.
Lufkin Longview.
I mean, they're all kind of great games. I mean, it's a loaded week. Amarillo, Tascosa, Paladuro.
West Orange, Stark, Newton. Fascinated by that. Yeah. Heck, the game that I'm going to be at, I guess I can ruin this. Yeah, Thursday night, we're going to Abilene for Wolford Friendship and Byron Nelson. I'm
live on Texan Live, by the way. Live on Texan Live.
That game's great. I am really interested. Here's just like a bonus pick. I'm really interested in Collinsville and Tioga. Really interested in that game.
little heads up on Tioga. Quarterback got hurt in the scrimmage. Don't think he's going to be... Maybe done for the year. Tough.
Never mind. I rescind my interest in Collinsville and Tioga. But that game is fascinating. Pearland Fulcher is really interesting in the Houston area. Corpus Christi Miller, Corpus Christi Vets.
Great week.
But it's now time for the return of the hipster game of the week. Now, the hipster game of the week, this is your first time, is a game that like, even though you can pick any game you want in this, like we're going to play a lot of the hits. Like these are a lot of the contenders. This doesn't have to be a contender. It is a game that is interesting to you for a reason that is entirely not
up
like,
to me.
Like up, yeah, up to you. Yeah. Matt Stepp, what is your inaugural hipster game of the week?
See, no, I've talked about this. I am a big year two bump guy. Love the year two bump. And so what we have Thursday night, down in South Texas. I believe this game is being played in Rockport, but I'm going to confirm, but it's Orange Grove and Rockport Fulton. And no, it's actually in Orange Grove. You've got a couple of second year head coaches in their year two, Jared Johnston at Orange Grove, Eric Sosa at Rockport Fulton. Chris is his dad. Two teams that made the playoffs last year to the second round. Rockport Fulton was 7-5 last year. Orange Grove was 8-4 last year. Rockport's 4-2. Orange Grove 3-1. Really intriguing matchup. Thursday night game in the Coastal Bend. So if you're jonesing for football and you want to go to a game, it's a great game to go to out in Orange Grove. Two really good football teams that have have hopes of playing on Thanksgiving weekend. I want to see which team has a better year two bump, Rockport Fulton Orange Grove. So that's why I like this game, just as an under the radar kind of game that I'm going to be keeping my eye on this weekend.
Okay. That is you know, that is a classic.
That's classic hipster right there.
Classic hipster game. I'm going to go. I can't believe I'm going to out hipster Matt Stepp, but that's exactly what I'm going to do. Matt Stepp, 7:30 p.m. Friday night at Sprague Stadium in Dallas. Matt Stepp, I present to you the Samuel Spartans and the Molina Jaguars.
Okay. All right.
Now, if you look at the scorebook, if you look at the record book, this game will tell you that Molina won the game either 1-0 or 17-0, depending on who you ask. Because Samuel had to forfeit a number of games last year. In fact, they had to forfeit seven games for use of an ineligible player. So they had to forfeit it. But on the field, Matthew, on the field, this game was the fifth highest scoring game in Texas high school football last year. This game
was a wild one. I do remember that.
This game finished Samuel 70, Molina 64. Okay? It's been wiped from the record books for no good reason other than, you know, you can't do that. But it has been wiped from the record books. Molina had 552 yards of total offense. Samuel had like 540 yards of total offense. It was pure cut the brakes football. And by the way, both teams, Samuel at the very least, they're bringing back 16 starters from last year's team. Molina's got a little bit of rebuilding to do. Yeah. They got to replace their Aiden Ochoa, their quarterback, who was really good for them. But they feel good about a few of the playmakers they got, like Kingston Chavez and Mario Rangel, the sophomore. I want to go on record. I do not think Samuel or Molina are winning a state championship this year. That is my hot take.
Breaking.
However, I expect entertainment value at Sprague Stadium on Friday night. I think it is going to be pointsy and fun. And if you're into that kind of thing, get out to Sprague Stadium and watch some football.
Go watch some DISD football.
Watch a little DISD football. It'll be a lot of fun. And I am very intrigued with to see how it shakes out. So there it is, my hipster game of the week. Let's now find out what V&A Moreno in her final.
Oh, we gotta tell everybody where we're going this week.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Wait. What should we do first? I think okay, that's right. Yeah. Step, why don't you tell people where you're going?
Thursday night, I'll be in Texarkana, Atlanta, at Texarkana Pleasant Grove.
I need a full report on Pleasant Grove.
Yeah, I've got you.
Because we'll find out a lot about Carthage, obviously, when they play Kilgore. And I am very interested in basically like the team that looks like the biggest threat to Carthage in 4A Division 2, which is Pleasant Grove.
So be in Pleasant Grove Thursday. Friday night, I will be in Brenham, who's been in the news with the departure of running back Jacoby Dixon. Should still be a great game.
Alleged departure. Like, we still don't know. To be clear, I
feel confident. Multiple sources have indicated he is enrolled at a private school. I'll say that.
Okay. All right.
So, but Huntsville taking on Brenham. I'm hoping to get to Brenham early to go by the Bluebell Factory and try some unique flavors that aren't in the stores. I'll report back to you.
Please do. Thank you.
And then Saturday, I'll be in San Antonio for San Antonio East Central versus San Antonio Harlan. So
good game.
Yes, great Saturday night game. Two really good teams in the Alamo City. So, so Thursday from Texarkana all the way to San Antonio. A lot of driving.
Thursday, after we wrap up TFT, a bunch of us are getting in the car, the Dave Campbell Mobile, and we are heading west to Abilene. To Shotwell Stadium.
Beautiful Shotwell Stadium.
For Byron Nelson and Wolford Friendship. So we're broadcasting the game live on Dave Campbell's Texan Live. That was the original plan was like me and Powers were going to call it. And then I was like, I actually don't want to work. I just want to go and watch a game.
So I've heard, is Gavin coming out of retirement to call that
I think
game?
Gavin's coming out of retirement for only to call this game. For
Are we three-man? I heard Carter. Are we three-man boothing it?
I think it's going to be, they might be rotating in and out. It's going to be week one for everybody. If you got two quarterbacks, you got no quarterbacks, you know what I mean? But we'll find
We got one play-by-play guy, though. Gavin's calling ISO on play-by-play.
And then Friday, if you're watching us on YouTube, tonight, 10:30 p.m., the season premiere of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Tonight.
I'll be listening while I'm driving. I won't be watching, but I'll be listening.
Starring Ashley Pickle and myself, produced by regular-sized V&A Moreno. We will have scores, highlights, analysis, 90 minutes of Texas high school football goodness. You go and check that out. So that's Friday night. Here's a
question.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to stop and eat at Mary's and Strawn on the way to Abilene?
That is going to be up to my traveling party, which is Mallory Hartley, Greg Powers, Carter Yates, Gavin Moritz. I'll leave that up to them.
I will call Powers and Gavin and Carter and ensure. Mallory, it might be a tougher sell because she actually takes care of herself and won't eat like a giant chicken fried steak probably. But I've also heard Mallory can throw down, so we'll see.
I think she can put away the groceries.
When you get to Shotwell Stadium, which is a beautiful remodel, the press box, unbelievable. Ask Coach Garfield to make sure you get some famous Shotwell Frito pie.
The last time I had a Shotwell Frito pie.
So you have had one. Six man game, right?
I had one at a six man state championship game, 2015, because the title game got moved there because they couldn't play with an NRG. I had it there watching Blum pull off one of the great upsets in six man history when they beat, I think, Follette in the title game. But yeah, it was a great game, and I got to have a Frito pie, and it was everything you said it was going to be. So.
It's everything you dreamed of.
Now let's go to Tiny V&A Miranda to say, hey, V&A, what'd you write down?
I wrote down a couple of things.
Okay.
Good episode, guys.
Hey, thanks. We tried this time.
Thanks, V&A.
Y'all kept it nice, short, and sweet.
Well, compared to the 6A preview, yeah, we did.
Yeah.
It's still over an hour.
People did love that, though. Yeah. Pickle is a dude's rock hater.
She is a dude's rock hater.
That's
so mean.
She doesn't believe the dude's rock.
She doesn't believe in it. I mean, it's not hate. It's just facts. We're reporters.
Yeah, we are capital J journalists.
And she's going to listen to this. So.
Every time I say dude's rock, that woman rolls her eyes.
Anyway.
Brand name Tepper is, I don't think I've heard that one.
Brand name Tepper. Yeah. Anytime I pick, like, what did I pick? Alito and Geyer, which is very brand name.
And a victory lap. V&A will call me stupid.
Yeah. North Shore sock. You're out on a limb.
I am.
It's not a crazy limb.
My favorite.
Okay. I think that's going to do it for us. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Thanks to V&A Moreno for tolerating us. Step, thanks for your courage.
Thanks.
Talk to you next week.
Studio next time.
Boom.
Bye.